Welcome to A Quiet Life. I'm Ruth, your host, and it is just gorgeous to have you here with me. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for pressing play. As I record this, it's December 2021, but I'll be sending it out into the world in January 2022. I'm taking January off from podcasting, but I wanted to give you all something while I was away, and this interview with Daniel C. from Spacemaker seems an ideal place to start the year. I read Daniel's book when I last was on retreat, and I found it really challenging. His book's called Spacemakers, and you'll hear about that in the interview. I found it really challenging because it's about how we use technology, and I looked at my own phone use and tried to figure out just how addicted I was, and I've changed my behavior a little bit since reading the book, which is pretty good, I think. We can only make small changes as we listen to these things, but I try to use my phone a lot less on my weekly Sabbath. That doesn't sound really good when I say this. I would like to say I now don't touch my phone at all on my weekly Sabbath, but that's just not true. But I'm trying to use it less, and there's obviously more changes that I can make. But yeah, when I was reading his book on my retreat, I realized that Daniel lives in the same state as me. He's in Tasmania, the same as I am, and I thought, this is something I can't pass up. I need to get together with Daniel and have a longer interview with him. And I thought I'd let Scotty get in on the action too. So Daniel was really great. He was very happy to chat with us. He came into Ultra 106.5, which is the radio station where Scotty works and where I chat on a Thursday. And we had a really good interview together. He shared some great stuff as he and Scotty and I talked. And so, I thought let's share this on the podcast as well as on the radio. And I hope that you enjoy it. He's not completely down on technology. He's not saying that we all need to give up our computers and our phones and things, which is good because I can't. But he uses his computer for work as well. So he appreciates the good of technology, but he also has some fairly challenging and confronting things to say about the bad side of technology. So I hope you enjoy this interview with Daniel. And in a fortnight, I have another special summer podcast that I'm putting together and some interviews with other people that I thought you might enjoy. And then after that, our regular chats, our normal things about productivity and living a quiet life will start again in February. So yeah, enjoy this interview and I will chat to you again soon.
Good morning, this is Ultra 106.5, Scotty with you and a couple of very special guests this morning. I've got Ruth, well, you know Ruth. You
good
know, Ruth
morning, here. Everyone.
Good morning. And Daniel C., who's an author and pastor and a whole bunch of other things as well, and he's just written a new book, and I'm super excited about this. And in fact, the book's just won the Australian Business Book Awards Best Personal Development Book of 2021 and nominated for other awards as well. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning, Scotty.
Hey, this is a real treat having you here because, well, thank you for the book, by the way. You gave me a book, which is really nice. This is my thing. You know, like what you've written in here is the book that I'm like, this book needs to be written. Like, it's just such a good book, and I'm now going to actually read it properly. I've only been looking at what's on the web, but tell us about the book.
Yeah, look, I am really passionate about making space and helping people make space in their life. So I suppose I have a productivity background, but also a physiotherapy habits-based background, and I'm just really busy, and I hang around busy people, and I just am really passionate about helping us to think and rest and reflect and be our best selves. And what I realized working with clients and, you know, looking at my own life, I realized that if we're going to have space to think and rest and breathe and plan and all that stuff, we're going to have to rethink some of our relationship with the online world, because it tends to be taking up all the space we have when we're not doing something else, and there's some downsides to digital overuse. So really the book is about how to rethink and reframe our relationship with the online world and practically live differently.
And you're not saying that technology is a bad thing, are you? You're just saying there's a place for it.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I live in the technological world. You know, I work on Zoom, I coach clients overseas, you know, I mean, just like many of us, I'm on my screen all the time, and I'm really grateful for being able to blog and speak and all that kind of stuff, all the things that technology brings. I think one person I read said, you know, we live in an age of miracles where stuff that was science fiction 10 years ago is a reality now, and I think that's really true. So I'm definitely not anti-tech, but I'm certainly anti-overuse, and What I've noticed over the last 5 years particularly is culture has massively drifted to the point where we are overusing our tools, we're wired and tired, we're losing our productivity and almost our sense of humanity, and we're losing our ability to even think our own thoughts and to know our soul and to know ourself. And so we need to have patterns of unplugging and unwinding in order to enjoy the world with tech, but, you know, be human.
And I noticed about your book that you didn't just say, look, here are the rules, do this, do that, whatever, but you talked about let's understand the paradigm and some principles first. Do you want to tell us a bit about...
Yeah, well, look, the book began with an ABC interview 7 years ago, and I wrote a blog that basically said I turn off my phone for one day a week every Saturday as a digital Sabbath or a digital day off, and they thought, well, that's crazy, and I went on like a few different radio stations and got, you know, printed, and that was quite an unusual idea that we're using too much tech 7 years ago, right? But so I wrote a quick ebook. I thought, yep, 20 pages, how to turn off your phone and not be so distracted. But I realized through that process that it's not as simple. Like the idea of, you know, don't start the day and end the day with a phone is pretty simple. You know, don't have a phone when you're eating dinner together and actually talk. Pretty simple. Like you don't need a lot of help to know how to do that. But it's really not simple because we need a new paradigm shift. We need to really understand why, how tech shapes us as people and why we're so drawn to it, how it impacts our loves and our longings. And we need principles to live differently, so timeless principles to live by to replace what we've filled up with the online world. And then we need the practices, and that's the ebook.
So my children, you know, like teenagers, and they're just on their phones the whole time, and we feel like nagging parents. We're just like, put your phone down. But I know even for me, there's this fear of missing out, you know, and you go, oh man, but if I'm not on my phone and, you know, looking at my social media, what is... like I could miss out on something. And what I found, if I put my phone down for a day and then I pick it up the next morning, I'm like, I didn't miss out on anything. Like the world still continues. It is that way, isn't it? But there is a real fear of missing out.
Oh, absolutely. And look, before I turned off my phone for my digital Sabbath, I you know, I'm a habitual email scanner. I just have to admit it. Even I run email ninja training and teach people not to do it, and yet I still struggle with it. But I would check on a Saturday. I just habitually pull out my phone and, I don't know, scan my Gmail, you know, sometimes 8 times a day. I don't know why. It's just a habit. Once I started turning off my phone, I would check my Gmail at the very end of the day on a Saturday, like after dinner, and there'd be like 3 useless emails, and I'm like, well, I so didn't need to see any of that. And that's certainly been my experience when we unplug, where we put rest first, and when we put thinking and in prayer and being with people face-to-face first, then actually all the other stuff flows out well, and you actually end up being more productive. Not less productive.
Chatting this morning with Daniel C. He's the author of Space Maker, How to Unplug, Unwind, and Think Clearly in the Digital Age. Now, I've got a friend, and he has a box at his front door, and it has a sign that says, hang up and hang out. And it's got all the different chargers for all the different phones. And so basically, as you come into his house, he points, he goes, hang up and hang out, you know, and you literally, it's a requirement to walk into his house that you plug in your phone and then leave it behind and go and spend time. What are some of those kind of practical tips that, you know, I mean, it's such a good idea to do that, you know, because there's nothing worse than being at a dinner table with someone and they're just like flicking through their phone. You're like, put your phone down.
Yeah. You know? Look, I've never heard of someone making, you know, you put it down before you enter the house, but I think the principle's really sound. That's fantastic. Look, I talk about the daily pause, which is just one of the 7 habits at the end of the book. And it came out of a research study from the University of Virginia. I think a guy called Timothy Wilson, and he interviewed a whole heap of people and he put them in a room by themselves for 6 to 15 minutes. And they just said, be there and reflect on your own thoughts. And almost universally, people didn't enjoy being in a room by themselves and thinking. And so what he did next is he started to shock the people with electric shocks that were so painful that they were willing to pay $5 not to be shocked and hurt, electrocuted again. And then he put them in a room with nothing to do and said, please just think about your own thoughts, but if you really want to, I don't encourage it, you can electrocute yourself. And like more than 60% of guys and more than 25% of women chose to electrocute themselves rather than sit in a room and think their thoughts without tech.
Wow.
And so the daily pause is a practice that basically says, what if we could relearn to be bored. Relearn to look at the sunset, look out of the window of the bus, talk to a person face to face, you know, and to create patterns like eating dinner without tech, like starting and ending the day without tech, like having a few tech-free meetings. So not a lot of time, but pauses that are research-based and actually allow us to really enjoy what it means to be human in a deep way, to think and to rest without rejecting technology altogether. So it's a very similar principle.
Yeah,
and of course, you've got to charge your stuff, all your phones in one place if you're going to do that.
I have a friend who went for a massage and she said they should have a TV underneath the massage table so that you've got something. Wow.
Oh, that's terrible.
Isn't it awful? It's shocking. But yeah.
Maybe they should put electric. If you're getting bored when you're getting massaged, you can zap yourself. I'm sure there's a therapy in that somewhere.
Electrotherapy.
But yeah. It is practice, isn't it? Because I think that as we get used to having this continual distraction by our phone, we lose practice on how to just have that incidental mindfulness that we used to have when we went on the bus or whatever. We used to have incidental boredom all the way through the day, and now it's just distract, distract, distract.
Absolutely. We have to retrain our brain. And part of the paradigm, so I have one section on neuroplasticity, and that's based on my physiotherapy background and science background. So we look at how does the brain change with constant internet use? What are the patterns and behaviors that are shaped when we practice the internet? I talk about the fact that if we were to practice, you know, I struggle to practice piano 15 minutes a day as a kid, but my kids and most kids are practicing the internet 9 hours a day. So what does that do to our brain and our habits and our patterns? And then how does that translate into our inability to rest and pray and sit and be? We need to retrain our brain. Yeah. And it can start with a daily pause as one of the practices.
We have a thing in our family called screen-free days. So we only allow, you know, like we've got a PS4 at home and the kids love the games and stuff. But we say, like, so certain days of the week are screen-free days. Mm. And so they know on the non-screen-free days they get an hour to play their games. Mm. And they have to set an hour and then they get their hour. When a buzzer goes off, then they're off the PS4.
But that's fantastic.
Yeah. But the thing is, for our family, it's been a beautiful thing because the kids just love getting outside and they can still hold a conversation. And, you know, like I've found if you spend too much time, you start to lose all those social skills person to person.
Absolutely. Look, the research in terms of iGen, so a researcher called Dr. Gene Twenge wrote about iGen. I mean, that's not universally called that generation. You might say Gen Z or others, but, you know, those born after the iPhone hit 50% saturation, I think about 2007.
Yep.
The impact on mental health, anxiety, social relationships, sleep patterns, the pure impact of being online so much is... It's really quite catastrophic, actually. And compared to young people from every other generation, there are some significant mental health impacts by being online too much. Her conclusion, having looked at four of the biggest longitudinal studies across the US and the world, was that every activity that involves being on a screen reduces mental health, and every activity that doesn't increases it.
That's amazing.
And yet we're trading off all of our time on walking in the bush, spending time with people, you know, eating meals, all that stuff, for connecting online. And yet our young people are more connected than ever before with other people, and they're feeling more lonely and left out, more anxious and more FOMO than ever before.
Yeah.
So there is a connection. So it's not that social media is bad. It's not that we shouldn't use our tech, but we really shouldn't make it our whole life.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you hear about things these days like the metaverse, you know, so you've got Facebook, you know, and like I heard this week, there was a guy that paid $650,000 for a digital boat in the metaverse. And there are people that are buying land in the metaverse, you know.
I'm very happy to sell one of them. I mean, if you can show me where I can sell a boat like that, I'm seriously interested.
So it's not even a real boat and they've paid $650,000
for it. At least you can't drown, I suppose. There's benefits, isn't there? You know, the online world's much safer, isn't it?
Or run your boat up on the rocks, maybe you still can.
That's right, and the fish don't smell, yeah. So you know.
But we do seem to be wanting to almost escape our lives and move to an alternate reality, don't we?
Yeah, and again, I just had a whole heap of time off by myself. Like I had long service leave, like weeks of silence, which I've never done. So that's very rare and unusual. But I'm amazed at what happened by having 3 weeks without technology by myself. Just, I remember eating a bowl of rice porridge. So, you know, Jook, I'm half Chinese. And it's the most boring meal. But, you know, I was cooking for myself. So I thought I'll cook a meal, make it simple. But just eating rice was just amazing. And because I was quiet and I was still, and I learned to appreciate just the beauty of daily living. And there is so much joy if we can learn to be present. Much more joy than distracting ourselves to oblivion.
Yeah,
I've found that with just unplugging during the Sabbath. So just that one day off and actually turning my phone off or not having it, time goes much more slowly. And we're feeling like time, you know, is speeding up. Everyone's like, you know, running at this huge, intense pace. But yeah, just having that day, I'm like, what am I going to do now? what hobbies do I have? You know, but, you know, it's good. It's good to just feel that time slow down a bit.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, Walter Brueggemann says that people who take Sabbath live all 7 days differently. And that's absolutely my experience. And in the book, I spent the longest practical chapter is about how do you form a digital Sabbath. I mean, it's not a religious book. It's actually won the Australian Business Book of the Year Award. So it's not a religious book, although someone said it's not quite not a religious book. and yet the biggest kind of religious chapter, I suppose, is about the Christian Jewish practices of Sabbath, but not just why we should do it, but actually how do you live it out? How do you plan it in the context of life and family and extroverts and introverts? What are the principles you'd use? How might you define what work is, what rest is, and then practice a truly deep rest in your life once a week? That has absolutely been the most transformative practice for rest and faith for my family. But it's not easy to do because our culture is completely set against stopping. So, the book is a kind of a practical how-to guide, not just a why we should stop and rest. And I think that's often where we get stuck.
And you know, being a man of faith too, how does somebody, you know, like how does this digital world affect people's relationship with God, you know, following Jesus? How does it affect that? Is it positive? Is it negative?
Yeah, look, I mean, again, there are beautiful things that come out of the online world. But I do think overuse is, I think distraction is probably the greatest anti-discipleship tool known to us. You know, Ignatius talked about starting and ending the day by reflecting, by praying, by thinking about what went well in the day, and just by engaging in the presence of God. And we start and end the day with Donald Trump or what's happening on COVID, you know, across, because we Instagram, like we reach for our phone first thing, we finish with it last thing at night. So that trains our brain to think in a particular way. And a guy, he wrote The Benedict Option, Rod Dreher, he talks about digital technology being the new liturgy of modernity. So what that means is, like liturgy has always trained us to think and act in godly ways, digital technology is our new liturgy. It's shaping us to think the way that the shareholders of Silicon Valley want us to think. And that's actually not usually about being apprenticed to Jesus.
No.
So we need to really be cautious about the medium and the habits that are shaping our mindset and recalibrate what it means to really love God.
And just picking up on that, because the thing is that, you know, they want to make money. They want you more and more on their product.
And products are totally designed to distract us.
Yeah. And to hook us in and to addict us to their product. Because the more that they can do that, the more money they make. So you have to be aware of that, don't you?
Yeah, and even the ideas behind them in the first place. I mean, the iPhone is fundamentally built on the principle of multitasking in the sense of you can do multiple things at once. And it does it brilliantly. You know, you can check the weather and have your email open and check Instagram. It's all working simultaneously. But humans aren't meant to function like that. And the medium is the message. So what I mean by that is if we're using a technology that is shaped according to certain ideas, if we use them for hours and hours a day, they will shape how we see the world. And yet, is that the way we want to see the world? Is it better to be slow and still and do one thing at a time, or to flip from one thing another and kind of be a pancake people, white and thin and always distracted?
So, and I know which way is less stressful too, you know.
Absolutely.
I think I'd take the path of less stress.
Definitely.
Hey, Daniel, thanks so much. I love this. Now, I know that you've also got a website that can people engage with you on that. So tell us about your website.
Oh, well, look, if you're interested in finding out more about the book, certainly, it's www.spacemakers.com.au. Yeah, look, sign up. I write blogs, and you know, the blogs are about unplugging, about making space, about understanding the connection between spirituality and productivity, no matter your faith background.
Yeah, love it. Hey, Ruth, thanks so much for coming in this morning. Really
great.
Appreciate it.
I've got so much out of it. Thank you so much, Danny.
Me too. I can't wait to read it now. So the book's called Space Maker, How to Unplug, Unwind, and Think Clearly in the Digital Age. And to find out more, spacemakers.com.au. Hey, Daniel, thanks so much for coming in.
No, thanks very much for having me.